I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for health care. And here's why. This time of year is decision time for a lot of people, but it's also when you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. For many families, joining MediShare means saving about $500 a month, which is a game changer for a lot of people, obviously. But what's more, MediShare members like it a lot. Their satisfaction rate is 98%. Imagine that. And MediShare is a proven thing, too, for over 30 years. It's a Christian community of hundreds of thousands of people now. And here's the thing. If you join before November 30th and you mention the promo code SHARE, they'll waive your application fee. So you save even more right off the bat. I'll give you the number here in a second, but just call and you'll get a price within 2 minutes. And again, the deadline is November 30th. So call now and you'll save even more. Here's the number. 877-26-BIBLE. That's 877-26-BIBLE. 877-26-BIBLE.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The co-chair of the Trump transition team and supporter of tariffs has been tapped by President-elect Trump to be Commerce Secretary.
The CEO of investment bank Cantor Fitzgerald, Lutnick has been serving as co-chair of the Trump transition team, working since Election Day at Mar-a-Lago to recommend and vet potential candidates for Trump's cabinet and senior staff. He had been vying for the job of Treasury Secretary, with close ally Elon Musk even recently publicly endorsing him for that position. Karen Travers, ABC News, Washington.
President Biden wrapping up his final G20 summit of his term today. He's holding meetings with Brazil's leader, discussing ways to battle the climate crisis. The U.S. special envoy in Beirut today working to finalize a ceasefire deal between Hezbollah and Israel. Reports that the Iran-backed militant group in Lebanon have agreed to terms of the U.S. proposal. Drought conditions in the Northeast raising the fire risk. The NYPD says it's battling a brush fire in Upper Manhattan. This is ABC News. Walmart reporting a better-than-expected quarter leading into the holiday season, and its leader says the retail giant has a game plan for possible new tariffs.
Walmart in a strong position heading into the holiday season. The company reporting sales up 5.3%, surprising analysts who had expected a 3.9% increase. Sales of everything outside of groceries up year over year after nearly 3 years of declines. Keeping prices low could be a challenge if the next administration in Washington raises tariffs. But Walmart CFO John David Rainey saying about two-thirds of the items at Walmart sells are made, grown, or assembled in the U.S., which reduces the tariff risk for those goods. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Tens of thousands of people marching on New Zealand's parliament in Wellington in protest of a controversial bill. Activists say the legislation in question takes away the rights of Maori people. Today's demonstration marking the end of a nine-day peaceful protest that made its way through the country. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
My check engine light's on.
That could hurt your gas mileage. The AutoZone free fix finder service can help find the fix for free.
Get in zone.
This whole report for free?
That's right. Printed and on your phone for free.
Get in zone.
But what if the fix is too tough?
We'll recommend a local shop. Fix finder, only at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Oh no, my phone.
Hear that? It's the sound of a skater dropping her phone and smashing it on the ice. Yep, it's definitely broken. But at Verizon, we got you. Black Friday starts now. Trade in any phone, any condition from one of our top brands and get a new Samsung Galaxy S24 Plus on Unlimited Ultimate and Watch 7 and Tab S9 FE5G. That's up to $1,900 in value. So you'll save big on three great gifts. Hurry into Verizon this Black Friday. Service plan required for watch and tablet. Up to $1,900 value based on phone, watch, and tablet. Trade in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. Liberal judges on the Wisconsin Supreme Court seem skeptical of a challenge by state Senate Republicans over Elections Administrator Megan Wolf's continued employment. Justice Jill Karofsky says Republicans won a case that allows for Wolf to stay in place.
Six of the seven of us sat in this courtroom 2 years ago when your client Your client insisted that Fred Prehn should be able to retain his position on the DNR board even though his six-year term had expired, and your client won.
The six-member Wisconsin Elections Commission declined sending a recommendation for a new administrator a year and a half ago when Senate Republicans wanted to remove Wolf from the post. Republican U.S. Senate candidate Eric Hovde has conceded his loss to Democrat Tammy Baldwin. In a statement posted to X on Monday, Hovde continued to question the integrity of election results from Milwaukee.
Without a detailed review of all the ballots and their legitimacy, which will be difficult to obtain in the courts, a request for a recount would serve no purpose because you will just be recounting the same ballots regardless of their integrity.
Hovde previously claimed to be shocked by Milwaukee's reporting of its absentee ballot results early Wednesday morning, although the city's central count location has routinely announced absentee ballots all at once. Clerks around Wisconsin are prohibited from processing absentee ballots until Election Day. A New Berlin man reported missing last week was found dead in the Chicago area. Ben Oberto's wife last heard from him Wednesday night when he told her he'd be home after a work trip in northeast Illinois. Friday afternoon, Illinois State Police located Oberto's overturned vehicle along an interstate near O'Hare International Airport. Oberto, who died at the scene, leaves behind his wife and two kids. The crash is under investigation. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Morning people wake up for peace and quiet. McDonald's breakfast people, we wake up for the sweet rush of getting that warm, delicious breakfast right before it ends.
Wake up and be a McDonald's breakfast person. Enjoy a classic sausage McMuffin with egg. Right now, get two for just $6. Order ahead in the app to save time. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Cloudy skies and blustery today. Wind gusts as high as 35 miles per hour. Early afternoon highs in the mid-50s with temps falling into the upper 40s by late afternoon. For tonight, still on the blustery side with clearing skies, lows in the lower 30s. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Right now, it's 47.
And great to have you along with us here for another episode of AOA, Agriculture of America, brought to you by Cenex. As a farmer, unpredictability is inevitable on the farm and ranch. Select the right grease and the right premium diesel. It's critical for your operation. Cenex will keep you moving through the season and beyond. Go to your nearest Cenex store or visit Cenex.com for more information. Coming up on today's program, we're going to share a few conversations I had last week at the NAFB convention in Kansas City, Missouri. That's the National Association of Farm Broadcasting. Conversations you haven't heard yet here on the show, so they are new to you. Glenn Tonsor with Kansas State University. We talked about the latest meat demand monitor in person at NAFB. That's coming up in segment two. And we talk elections, policy, and much more for the second half of the show today. Mary Kay Thatcher with Syngenta joins us here in segment three of our program. And then in segment four, we hear from Rob Johansson with the American Sugar Alliance. Of course, those conversations surrounding farm bill elections and more coming before Senator Stabenow released her farm bill text on Monday. Get an update on that coming up here as well in segment two of today's program before we hear from Glenn Tonsor. So a lot to get to on today's AOA. Let's kick things off and take a look at what's happening in the markets. Dennis Smith with Archer Financial Services joins us here on the show today. Dennis, good to hear from you again. Hope you're doing well, sir.
Thank you, Jesse. Good morning, and thank you for having me on.
Let's start over in that protein complex, kind of a mixed bag on Tuesday's trade in cattle and hogs. I know we found some good support on Monday, particularly in cattle with feeders leading the way. And I know we got a cattle on feed report coming up at the end of the week that could play a role here. What's your take in the cattle market to start, Dennis?
Yeah, I'm concerned about the direction of the cash steer market as well as the direction of the wholesale beef complex. Packers continue to control the what we call the throughput or the slaughter chain speed. They slowed it down again last week in order to try to prevent the wholesale beef from totally falling apart. Partially successful, perhaps. Choice beef was down $4.59 last week, but we saw a nice move up in the choice beef yesterday. So, again, their strategies appear to be working, but what is the result is cattle continue to get heavy. They are record heavy weights, and ultimately, I guess my thinking is record heavy cattle weights for a long period of time is just generally not a bullish thing.
I'm hearing some chatter in terms of Friday's cattle on feed numbers that we could see placements possibly the highest on record for the month of November. Are you hearing some of that same chatter? What are your thoughts here early in the week ahead of the cattle on feed report?
Yeah, and it would be, I guess it should be the discussion of October placements, not the November placements. But yeah, we're hearing that placements will be higher anywhere from I guess some of the numbers are on the street now, but they're looking at anywhere from up 2% to say up as high as 7%. So we'll see how that comes out. Those would be October placements. Marketing is projected to be good around 105. I believe there's one extra marketing day. And that's going to leave us right where we're at with on-feed inventory around 100% of a year ago.
How about over the hog market? We were running higher than last week. Felt like we kind of pulled back from some overbought levels. And then it feels like now we've maybe settled things out in this hog market, at least to start the week. What's your take over on that side of the ledger, Dennis?
Well, I'm bullish on the hog market, and for one reason, really, and that's the fact that hog numbers continue to come in way short of projections based upon the hog and pig report. Hog and pig projections were that the kill would be running anywhere from 3% to 5% more hogs than this time last year. And we've not seen that. In fact, we've been running the kill right almost even with a year ago, in some cases slightly above a year ago, but less than 1%, and in some cases slightly below a year ago. So the hog numbers just are not there. And at the same time, we think we've seen a nice uptick in demand for U.S. pork. The result is cash hog prices are substantially higher than a year ago, as well as the value of the hog carcass. So I think convergence takes place with a futures market moving higher toward the hog index. And the latest index is at 88.49 versus December futures right around 80.
Dennis, how about over in the grains and oil seeds? We should touch on those before we hit the end of the segment. I know wheat looks like it's putting in a little bit of that war risk premium again with the tensions between Russia, Ukraine, the escalation there. Row crops, though, a little more mixed here on Tuesday's trade. Anything big you are watching in terms of the grain markets right now?
Well, the soybean market, I think, has got significant headwinds with the weather in South America really cooperating nicely. They are on pace to get everything planted with lots of moisture, higher acreage or hectares, potentially another record large crop coming out of South America. I would think that'll really stifle the soybean market. Corn futures are acting really well. We look at the weekly chart. It's a series of higher weekly lows for the last 5 weeks. And of course, the funds are long now, over 100,000 corn contracts. So that market impressively is displaying really good support. Wheat is certainly a wild card, and exactly what happens in the Ukraine war situation is there's a lot of uncertainty, but wheat does seem to be rejecting the lows from last week.
Dennis, good thoughts. Anything final you're watching or anything you'd reiterate to producers listening in terms of managing their risk and more in the markets?
You want to watch the wholesale beef market. The choice beef, I expect it to challenge 300. And if it goes below that, when the beef rips, the seasonal demand for rip cuts peaks, I would expect the choice beef to go below 300. And that would pressure the steer market. That's probably the most important thing in the short term to watch.
All right. ArcherFinancials.com for more. Dennis Smith with Archer Financial Services. Always good to talk with you. Thanks for joining us on AOA. And if I don't talk to you before then, have a happy Thanksgiving, and we'll get you back on the show again soon.
Thank you very much.
Dennis Smith with Archer Financial Services joining us here on AOA, brought to you by Cenex. Minimize downtime and manage risk at your operation with Cenex Premium Diesel and Lubricants. Go to Cenex.com for more information. Coming up, we will hear from Dr. Glenn Tonsor about the latest meat demand monitor. That's next on AOA.
FBN is always working to do more for family farms. And now, through December 13th, FBN Cyber Days means even more. More options, more offers, and more spending power with 0% financing and up to 9% off with our cash payment discount. Plus, pricing deals like Willowwood Glyphor 5 as low as $12.97 per gallon when you pay cash. Take more control of next season during FBM Cyber Days. Visit FBN.com/save today. Terms and conditions apply.
Smart stays on the road. That's why it's in your engine. Because you wouldn't settle for subpar performance. Cenex Maxtron synthetic diesel engine oils give you the smartest oil for the toughest conditions. These premium oils maintain 80% of their viscosity throughout the drain interval for superior engine performance across extreme temperatures. That horizon looks good with the competition behind you. Cenex Maxtron diesel engine oils. Oil that runs smart.
We've been fighting the war on drugs for a long time. We answer the phone 24/7, 365 days a year. On a busy night, we answer hundreds of calls. This war on drugs needs our intervention.
Since 2014, Addiction Hope and Helpline has helped people struggling with drugs and alcohol.
When the phone rings, we help people when they need it the most. When we get a caller into treatment, it feels good. It's a blessing.
If you're struggling, drinking, using, and need to get clean, don't suffer alone in silence. Call Addiction Hope and Helpline.
Our people understand, and many are also in recovery. Call for support and strength. You can call for someone who can't or isn't willing. It's an act of love. Together we can help you beat this thing and erase addiction from your vocabulary once and for all.
Call 800-320-1993. That's 800-320-1993. 800-320-1993.
Efficiency is critical for your farming or dairy operation, so extending the life of your equipment, walls, flooring, and machinery by adding plastic liners installed by Osseo Plastics and Supply only makes sense. Plastic liners wear longer than steel and they clean up fast. The call to Osseo Plastics will save you valuable downtime and lower repair costs for years to come. Make the smart choice and call Osseo Plastics and Supply. Have them help you become more efficient with your money and time with plastic liners and resurfaced equipment and flooring from Osseo Plastics and Supply.
Tax season is just around the corner. Let the experienced tax professionals at Sunstrom & Company in downtown Durand help you explore ways you can save money on your taxes. Sunstrom & Company works with farms, corporations, family-owned businesses, and individuals to make your tax headaches disappear. Call or visit Sunstrom today for an appointment at their Main Street Durand location next to the Courier Wedge. Sunstrom & Company, local accountants providing quality tax and financial management since 1980.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, brought to you by Cenex. Every minute matters on the farm and ranch. Bulk diesel fuel storage can boost your productivity and maximize your ROI. Choose high-quality fuel like Cenex Premium Diesel Fuel. Visit your nearest store, talk to your local experts, or go to Cenex.com for more. Well, on Monday, Senate Ag Chairwoman Debbie Stabenow unveiled a text of a proposed farm bill with Congress set to adjourn soon and her retirement looming at the end of this term. Stabenow making a final push to pass the 1,397-page bill, or at least bring it to the table here, the lame duck session. Unlike earlier bills, Stabenow's proposal integrates funding from the Inflation Reduction Act directly into the farm bill to support climate-smart conservation practices. Past farm bills provided temporary disaster assistance on an as-needed basis. This proposal establishes a permanent framework for delivering emergency relief. Stabenow's proposal increases reference prices for crop insurance. The bill allocates $8.5 billion to enhance access to supplemental nutrition assistance program benefits. Also, a dedicated $4.3 billion investment in rural health care, child care, broadband access, and job creation, representing a broader approach to rural prosperity. Now, reaction to the bill so far has been mixed. Many Republicans not in favor of the release of text from Senate Ag Chairwoman Debbie Stabenow. Ranking member on the Senate Ag Committee John Bozeman, in a post on the Senate Ag Republicans X account, quoted as saying, quote, an 11th hour partisan proposal released 415 days after the expiration of the current farm bill is insulting. America's farmers deserve better, end quote. We have more reaction available online. Just go to agricultureofamerica.com to read more on the farm bill. Well, let's head back to last week's NAFB convention in Kansas City, Missouri. We were able to catch up with Dr. Glenn Tonsor from Kansas State to go over the latest results of the Meat Demand Monitor. Here's that conversation right now on AOA.
Glenn, how are you? It's good to see you.
Doing great, and indeed, it's nice to do this in person.
Absolutely. It just makes the conversation that much better, doesn't it?
Well, I have a face for radio, though, so you now know that.
So do I. So we're both in the same boat, that is for sure. Oh, man. It's good to connect with you here. Let's talk the latest Meat Demand Monitor. Of course, we track this with you every single month, looking at the October results and... You know, we've been watching a lot of these same kind of trends, maybe not necessarily wholesale changes month to month here as of late. Let's just start with some of the top line numbers. What's some of the latest?
Yeah, so to put a bow around it, and then we'll get into the geeky details, is, you know, our listeners will remember I've had concerns about the weakness in food service demand off and on several months. One of the things that's nice to report in October, which is the latest MDM numbers we can refer to here, both retail and food service meat demand was above what it was in September. And it's been quite some time since I've been able to say both market channels were stronger. And I hope and I believe, but notice how I couch that, is I hope that's because the public's getting more comfortable with their finances, and that's leading to more foot traffic through restaurants. I know they want to keep meat in their diet because we see self-declared, you know, regular meat consumption. Those kind of numbers are regularly high, so it's not been an image concern. But the fact we saw a demand boost, I think, is because financial concerns are, I don't want to say they're gone, but I think they've eased some in the last month. And I'm cautiously optimistic we'll end 2024, go into 2025. Not that the worst of that's, you know, not in the minds of some, but in aggregate for our country, financial sentiment is improving.
That's a good point. We saw another rate cut, of course, from the Fed. You just continue to hear about this robust demand domestically. Our export demand's been good, too, for the most part. But you just continue to hear and you see this fundamental support, I think, in the markets, too, just of where demand is at. And I think, to your point, I think some of that's reflected in this month's MDM.
Yeah. So, you know, to break it down, just give a couple examples here. If you look at ribeye demand, for example, ribeye steak demand was up, you know, about 20 cents per pound retail. And then the amount you're willing to pay for a meal, dinner meal away from home, that's centered in the main entree as ribeye steak, is also up a little more than 20 cents. 20 cents may not sound big, but as a percentage for an industry this size, that's a really big deal. You know, we could break that down. We could do it for pork chops. We could do it for other categories. All this is on our Ag Manager website as usual. But I simply think we saw a boost in demand because the public's a little more comfortable with their finances.
Absolutely. Let's look at some of the other categories here. I know you look through things like protein value and look at prior day meals, meat knowledge, etc. We've looked at prior day meals the last couple of months. Any big changes there?
No major change there. What I would impress on folks is, you know, and I'm here with you in Kansas City, pork in many ways is a breakfast meal. There, I mean, we sell things through lunch and dinner as well, but bacon, sausage, so forth is obviously front, center, and breakfast. That continues to show up. By contrast, beef tends to be more of a dinner meal. That's still there. It's nothing new, but I want to impress. We're coming off a pretty contentious time. You know, you and I are talking here in the middle of November.
Yes.
Sometimes there's value in things that just document and remind us, even if it isn't sexy and new. And the prior day trends are exactly that. They're not new, but there's value in confirming it.
Well, and I think about this, and you just look at the different segments and the trends. And I know in the past you guys have broken this down via generations and more, et cetera. But kind of back to your whole point here and just the overall feeling on this, it really does. You look across all the different numbers that you guys look at, and it just seems to feel like there is more optimism out there right now.
Yeah, and maybe one way to make that point specifically, and where's my comment on that coming from? I'll give a data point so we get away from Glenn's opinion for a second, is in October, we ask this every month, but specifically in October, 21% of the public said their household finances are better than the same time a year ago. Mm-hmm. I would love for that 21 to be 41 or 61, right? I mean, for it to grow.
Absolutely.
But what is important to note is that 21 is actually higher than it's been in previous months. So we are seeing that number grow, albeit slowly, but it is growing. And the relevance of that, and I have purposely said this probably two of the last four times we've done an interview, is we see massive differences in food expenditures, both retail and away from home, whether you tell me your finances are improving or not. And I'm going to go to the extreme. So the 35% that say their finances were actually worse this October. So it's over a third of our country. I don't want to dismiss that. But the relevance for the meat industry is that third is spending about $45 less every week on food away from home. Those that say their finances are better is spending the $45 higher. That's a massive, I mean, take that times the size of our population. It's a very big difference. If you're concerned about your finances, the number one change you make is you don't go to a restaurant, you eat at home, and that impacts meat demand. I'm cautiously optimistic. We saw a boost in the food service demand earlier that as this year ends, we move into 2025. You know, if in fact we have some rate cuts and wages continue to grow, you know, at least modestly, that we'll see some return from the food service channel. And that could be a tailwind for domestic meat demand if it occurs.
Well, and as well, thinking about domestic demand and obviously supply, especially on the cattle side, and I know you do a lot of work there, maybe something else we could just throw into here real quick is, you know, what are you hearing from cattle producers? We're seeing heavier weights, less animals, things like that. You know, I think about beef, you know, traditionally is kind of the leader, it seems, at the meat case over pork and chicken. I mean, what is the state of the cattle industry right now, though? What are your thoughts there nearing the end of the year?
So we continue to see the inter-industry decisions trying to optimize given the animals we have. And you noted higher weights. That's part of that, right? Trying to occupy feed yards knowing we have fewer animals coming is a component of that. Probably the most often question I get for at least the last 6 months is where are we at with herd expansion, right? Have we pulled the trigger? Are we going to? So on and so forth. And I frankly think I'll be getting that question for a couple more years. My best guess from a bad crystal ball that's in 47 pieces sitting here, Jesse, is when we get to January, USD will give us a January cattle inventory report, and I think it's going to say we start 2025 with fewer beef cows than we started 24. So not only do I not think we've expanded, I think we've had a little bit more contraction. Not massive contraction, but just to like tell you how confident I am we haven't started expansions, I think we've contracted a little bit. I think the summer of 25, there'll be some individual examples of people that hold heifers back, but I think it's going to be the summer of 2026. So the calves that on the most part are born in the spring of 26, somebody makes a decision whether they keep those heifers on the ranch or not in the summer before the fall run. I think that's where we're going to see, quote unquote, market relevant, you know, enough of the calf crop is adjusted and stays on the ranch via heifer expansion to occur. But to repeat that for your listeners, I said the summer of 2026. So I don't think we're anywhere near market relevant expansion yet. I think the typical cattle producer wants to see Mother Nature be kind to them a little longer. We've had a dry period. The last 10 days, we've had some rain in the middle of the country, but we had a multiple week period we didn't before that. It's very attractive to have a profitable calf crop more than once before you pull the trigger. I think it's sort of rational for the typical cow-calf producer to be cautious, and I think we're witnessing them being cautious when it comes to herd expansion.
Good thoughts. And again, with the Meat Demand Monitor, agmanager.info for all the latest and historical data as well.
Everything is there. there. You know, you and I are sitting here today. It's beef and pork checkoff funded. As long as that's the case and it's based at K-State and I have any say in it, everything will be fully posted there and available to everybody.
AgManager.info. Dr. Glenn Tonsor, K-State University. Good to see you here in Kansas City and good to talk with you. We'll catch up next month.
Sounds great, Jesse.
Once again, looking at the meat demand monitor with Dr. Glenn Tonsor from Kansas State last week at the NAFB convention in Kansas City. Today's show powered by Cenex. Mitigate risk on the farm with premium diesel from Cenex. Learn more at your nearest store or go to Cenex.com for more information. We'll continue our conversations from Kansas City. Coming up next, we'll talk D.C. policy and more. Mary Kay Thatcher of Syngenta back on the way right after this. Join us the first Wednesday of every month on AOA for the latest episode of The Monthly Grind with our friends at the National Corn Growers Association. We'll discuss the latest topics surrounding the corn industry, the relationships between corn and other parts of the agricultural supply chain, the newest initiatives and partnerships from NCGA's Market Development Action Team, and much more. That's the first Wednesday of every month for The Monthly Grind on AOA. It's a show you don't want to miss.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
You're listening to
At Jerry Bear & Sons, your Golden Harvest seed dealer, their best skill is knowing how to listen. Because once they understand your operation and goals, they can offer the right products to perform in your fields. From the Gold Series soybean and game-changing corn portfolios to expert insights, it's an answer to what they have heard from you. Get fall cash discounts when you order your Golden Harvest seeds now at Jerry Bear & Sons, just off Highway 25. Durant.
Double-digit losses in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, December milk down 33 to 1899, January down 44 to 1893, February down 35 to 1905, March milk down 30 at 1916. Live and feeder cattle markets had triple-digit gains on broad trader support and strength in the countryside for feeder cattle. Hog markets mostly lower on the day. Another drop in the pork cutout values continued to pressure prices, and the trade without that demand did not want to move prices higher. December live cattle up 247 to 186.57. November feeder cattle up 242 to 254.25. December hogs down 47 cents to 79.55. Chicago Board of Trade, corn and soybeans mostly lower. The harvest is complete here in the U.S. Now the South American weather continues to show good progress for soybean development. That pressured soybeans. And also the spread action began to soften in the corn market. Wheat markets mostly higher as the market consolidates the Monday gains due to continued concerns over the events in the Black Sea and weaker dollar. December corn down 2 to 427 and a quarter. January beans down 11 and a quarter to 998 and a half. December wheat up 2.5 to 549 and three quarters. Minneapolis wheat up 1.75 to 586 and three quarters.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
rolls on today, brought to you by Cenex. Select the right grease. It's critical for your equipment. Cenex Premium Greases help you achieve superior strength and performance. Cenex will keep you going. Visit your nearest store. Go to Cenex.com for more information. Well, I'll preface this next conversation we had at the NAFB convention in Kansas City by saying, of course, we had this last week before Senate Ag Chairwoman Debbie Stabenow unveiled her Farm Bill text on Monday. Nonetheless, a lot of great discussion I had with Mary Kay Thatcher of Syngenta. She handles government and industry relations for Syngenta, longtime DC figure who knows her way around policy on the ag side on Capitol Hill. Let's take a listen to that conversation right now with Mary Kay Thatcher of Syngenta on AOA. One of the hot topics, of course, here at the convention this week is the fallout from the elections. What does it mean with the new Trump administration coming in? What about Farm Bill? What are the prospects there? Trade policy, so many different things. We want to talk about that, get perspective right now from Mary Kay Thatcher with Syngenta. And Mary Kay, it's good to see you. Thanks for joining us.
Good to see you. Absolutely.
So, 1,000-foot view here. We at least have certainty. We know who's going to be in the White House in January. And looking ahead, we know that much. We know that the Republicans have taken back the Senate. I know we're still waiting on House races here, but things are starting to take shape to some degree. I guess, 1,000-foot view, your reaction to at least what we know right now and what it means for agriculture.
Well, I think, you know, you have to believe the House is going to be Republican. They're only two votes short. It would just be like a major unbelievable event if somehow it went Democrat at this point in time. So you're going to have a Republican trifecta. And I think that means that President-elect Trump is going to have a lot of authority to try to work with those members of Congress. Certainly he helped numerous ones of them get elected. And so he'll be working with them to push forth his priorities. I think one of the biggest things we have coming up in 2025 is this massive tax bill. Mm-hmm. We passed a lot of tax provisions in 2017 that are incredibly important to farmers, be it estate taxes and stepped up basis and individual rates and 199A, et cetera. And so there'll be an emphasis, I believe, in trying to extend those, but there's also ideas for other new tax priorities. And so it's going to be imperative in agriculture that we get our act together and that agriculture as a whole is talking with a unified voice as we move forward. But what will likely happen is they're not going to take probably all year to figure this out. They'll probably put this in a reconciliation bill, meaning they only have to have 50 senators to pass it. Mm-hmm. And so it will be not easy, but easier than it would be probably if you had to do a lot of negotiating. I don't think taxes will be the only thing. I mean, you could throw some farm bill stuff in there. You could throw immigration. There's a lot of things. They'll fill that reconciliation bill as full as they can, and they'll probably do it in the first 90 days.
In terms of taxes, I'm glad you brought that up because I know a lot of farmers are looking at this expiration of these tax incentives and cuts and more coming up, and there's been some uncertainty there for farmers and ranchers wondering, you know, would some of these things go away, stepped up, you know, bonus depreciation, stepped up things like that. I mean, just a lot of unknowns, but it seems to me, to your point, we're probably going to see these extended to some degree, I would think.
Well, one would hope. Now, I do have to say that if you just extend them, it's almost $5 trillion mm-hmm. over the next 10 years. So it's a lot of money. And, you know, there was a time 20 years ago in this country, I thought Congress talked a lot about the deficit and the debt and getting it under control. But that's not something we've been hearing about much until maybe the last year. And I feel like now there are more members of Congress talking about that. Now, do I think there's enough of them that we're going to go in and have some massive cut? No. But I think that's going to enter in more into the conversation about how much can we really spend on tax cuts. Certainly the president's talking about imposing tariffs to pay for part of those mm-hmm. tax cuts. So there's just a lot of reasons. And again, if we got every little group in ag saying, I want this added on, I want this, no, I want more here, you know, we're not going to be as strong. So it's always important we hang together, but this tax bill is going to be really important.
Well, and you mentioned Farm Bill too, and obviously, you know, the prospects of a lame duck session farm bill have been pretty slim. I would say the chance is still there, but if I was betting, I wouldn't bet good money on it. So then that means we're looking at 2025, new Congress, getting this farm bill done.
What's the latest you're hearing there?
I think getting a farm bill done in the lame duck is just, you know, maybe 1 or 2% that it would happen. But the fact is that the four corners, the chairs and ranking members of House and Senate Ag haven't been talking while they've been out of session here in October. And I think now, you know, again, assuming we have a Republican trifecta, there'll be a push to just say, let's wait till next year when, in general, not that the Republicans won't have to deal with the Democrats, but they won't have to deal with them in the same way they are now. And so I think they're going to view it as we could write a farm bill that's more to our liking then than we can now. Now, I do think that we're going to get some weather disaster assistance in the lame duck. You know, you think the hurricanes, but floods and droughts and everything else. I think there'll be enough push for that to happen. I think the administration's going to need to come out soon with what are the real estimates about how much money needs to be spent. I'm not as optimistic that we get an agricultural economic financial package.
Sure.
Certainly, you could make a good case for it, but the bill that probably has the most chance of at least being the starting point is about $20 billion. And I'm just not sure we're going to find that in the next 20 days.
No, and there's been some talk of that to your point, and there's been some members of Congress, I know Senator Grassley, for instance, who said he doesn't foresee anything like that happening. You know, let it be a disaster package and leave it at that, basically, is what I've heard from some members of Congress.
Well, I think you got to look at, again, $20 billion. You look at the bill that passed out of House Ag Committee. It's already $33 billion short and having enough money to spend it. So then you have to really walk through, well, if we spent $20 billion now, does that have a negative impact on a more permanent five-year farm bill that we might do in the near future? I think those questions are big questions. And again, 19 more days of being in session is not much when we haven't passed a single appropriations bill. We got to do the National Defense Authorization. We're having votes today on new leadership positions in Congress. And then it'll be fights about who gets to be a committee chairman. And there's just a lot to do between now and Christmas.
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking with Mary Kay Thatcher from Syngenta. And on top of that, we have to extend the current farm bill in the next 20 days. Plus, then as we get into 25, if that ends up being the case, there's going to be a lot of new members of Congress that have never worked on a farm bill. Now, on the flip side of that, there will be plenty of experienced members still on the ag committees in the House and Senate. But I just think about new members coming in and worry that it could be a bit of a reset, so to speak.
Oh, I think it will be, without a question. You know, certainly on the Senate side, it's going to be a big reset to have Chairman Bozeman from Arkansas, you know, pushing the bill versus Senator Stabenow, who's retiring. You'll have Amy Klobuchar coming in. I know she's hunting for staff already. She'll be a great ranking member, but let's staff up the committee, which is really critical. And then, you know, I think one of the kind of things that I've marveled at about this election is when you looked at members of the House Ag Committee, there were there was twice as many from a percentage perspective of Aggies in peril in this election, that were in toss-up races. And really, very few of them have lost. So, but there's always turnover in the Ag Committee. There's always people who do want to be on when you're doing a farm bill and don't when you aren't. And especially when you think about the Democrats on the committee, you know, we don't have that many Democrats representing rural America anymore. So a lot of the people that get on the Ag Committee aren't there for the farming. They're there for the food stamp, the SNAP program, et cetera. But you're right, 70 new members, House members coming in, lots of education to do. 70 out of 435 is a pretty good chunk.
Very, very true. On top of all of this as well, I think about who's going to be the next Secretary of Agriculture. And this list is continuing to grow by the day. Honestly, like, you or I could maybe get a phone call to be Secretary of Ag at this point, Mary Kay, because it just seems like every day there's a new report from somewhere, somebody saying, oh, so-and-so's in the running. I think for right now, it's just until we get that certainty, we can speculate all we want. But of course, whoever is going to be the next Secretary of Ag is going to play a key role in all of this as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think you're exactly right. You know, I've seen up to 15 different names by now, and I'm sure there are people I haven't even heard of. But I think you also have to remember that half of those people are probably in the self-promoting mode. You know, they may not even want to be secretary, but they want their name out there as somebody who's influential. So we can look at all those names, and there's certainly some good candidates, but it could easily be somebody we've never thought about. I mean, who would have predicted Lee Zeldin would be picked for EPA administrator? I mean, it was sort of there. Mr. Trump has already picked several people a little bit out of where most folks thought positions would go.
And Lee Zeldin going to EPA, that in itself is a very interesting one, I think, for agriculture specifically. I think about the ethanol and biofuel side. I know he's not necessarily been a huge proponent, I guess, is what I would classify that as, right?
He has not. He really didn't want to extend ethanol anything past E10. And other things with that environment, he really wasn't all that active on environmental issues when he was a member of Congress. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think we really know a whole lot about how that will work out. But the thing I do remind myself is, anybody who comes in, whether it's Secretary of Agriculture or head of EPA or Secretary of Health and Human Services, you serve at the pleasure of the president. And you, when you sign up for that, you say, yes, sir, I'm going to do whatever you suggest. Mm-hmm. I might, you know, give you options, or I might, you know, say, hey, have you thought about X? But in general, what the president says is what's going to go. And I think this president will indeed be supportive of renewable fuels in the future.
Yeah.
So a lot of work to be done, but I have faith.
Absolutely. Well, with that, we are up against the clock. Always good to have a conversation with you. And no doubt, I think we got a lot that we're going to be, a lot of talking points we're going to have over the next couple of years ahead in terms of what's happening with ag policy out of Washington, D.C. and beyond. Mary Kay Thatcher with Syngenta. Always great to talk with you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Once again, that conversation last week at the NAFB convention in Kansas City. Cenex bringing you today's AOA. Avoid downtime and protect your operation with Cenex. Visit your nearest store or go to cenex.com for more information. Up next, we'll hear from Rob Johansson with the American Sugar Alliance. Back with more on AOA right after break.
Finances can be so intimidating, but since I've started using Dave, the banking app, managing my money is much easier. Dave shows me how much I have left to spend after my routine expenses. And if I'm short on cash, Dave's extra cash advances me the money I need, up to $500 in 5 minutes or less. No interest, no credit check, no late fees. Download the Dave app or go to dave.com/easy.
Dave is not a bank. Banking services provided by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. For terms and conditions, go to dave.com/legal. Eligibility criteria apply, subject to bank approval. Service and or instant transfer fees may apply. Advances typically approved in 5 minutes.
What? Woohoo! Another girls' night out.
I'm so stressed from shopping. I couldn't find anything.
Have you tried shopping jewelry television? JTV?
I don't know. Everyone in my family is so different.
JTV has thousands of jewelry styles. Artisan, diamonds, pearls, colored gemstones, watches, even gift sets. I shop on TV and online.
New JTV customers save up to $50 when you shop jtv.com/radio.
Now can you relax?
Yes. Another round?
Yes.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for health care. And here's why. This time of year is decision time for a lot of people, but it's also when you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. For many families, joining MediShare means saving about $500 a month, which is a game changer for a lot of people, obviously. But what's more, MediShare members like it a lot. Their satisfaction rate is 98%. Imagine that. And MediShare is a proven thing, too, for over 30 years. It's a Christian community of hundreds of thousands of people now. And here's the thing. If you join before November 30th and you mention the promo code SHARE, they'll waive your application fee. So you save even more right off the bat. I'll give you the number here in a second, but just call and you'll get a price within 2 minutes. And again, the deadline is November 30th. So call now and you'll save even more. Here's the number. 877-26-BIBLE. That's 877-26-BIBLE. 877-26-BIBLE.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
FBN is always working to do more for family farms. And now, through December 13th, FBN Cyber Days means even more. More options, more offers, and more spending power with 0% financing and up to 9% off with our cash payment discount. Plus, pricing deals like Willowwood Fly 405 as low as $12.97 per gallon when you pay cash. Take more control of next season during FBM's Cyber Days. Visit fbn.com/save today. Terms and conditions apply.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call?
If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and don't have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you don't pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call if you've been injured in an auto accident. Call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Auto Accident Help Desk.
Farm and Ranch Media is your go-to source for the latest news of agriculture, market information, ag weather, and much more. With the American Ag Network, Agriculture of America, AOA, and Market Talk, we keep you informed on the news and issues that matter for your operation. Agriculture is a busy job, and it requires you to constantly be on the go. That's why we'll keep you farm informed with the American Ag Network, AOA, and Market Talk.
More than 200 members of Congress are standing up for AM radio listeners. The AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act will keep AM radio in cars, because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to pass this critical legislation now.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And AOA continues, brought to you by Cenex Premium Diesel and Premium Lubricants. Cenex has what you need. Contact your nearest store, talk to your local experts, or go to Cenex.com for more. One more conversation from last week's NAFB convention in Kansas City. We talked with Rob Johansson from the American Sugar Alliance, their Director of Economics and Policy Analysis. Let's listen into that conversation on AOA.
Kind of been the running talk this week here and getting perspectives from all the different commodity groups and more on this election and what it means for farm bill prospects and more. And I think just in terms of the election itself, we obviously know we'll see Trump administration 2.0. Mm-hmm. Republicans have taken the Senate. I believe Republicans have taken the House, or we're close to it here as we speak. So what does this all look like in terms of just overall ag policy, trade policy? What are your thoughts there? What's the Sugar Alliance thinking about this?
Well, what we've been focused on at the American Sugar Alliance for a year now, essentially, and certainly focused primarily on this since the House version of the Farm Bill got passed out of conference back in May, is to try and get a new Farm Bill in place. Mm-hmm. We're pushing for that. We know that farmers across the country, including sugar beet and sugar cane farmers, are in need of a new modernized safety net, as we saw in the bill that G.T. Thompson put out, Chairman Thompson. It had a lot of improvements that should have real impact in helping farmers in farm country right now. We know that this year in particular, going into 2025, we're seeing some softening commodity prices. We're seeing cost of production remaining high. So those operations are going to need the ability to go to their lenders and get loans to make this year work. And we see a new farm bill as being key to getting that. Now, mm-hmm. as you noted, we were in a presidential election year this year. And it's always hard to get a big piece of legislation done during a presidential year. Last time we had that happen with the farm bill was back in 2012, and it took us about 3 years to get it done. So I don't think it's totally unsurprising that things slowed down a little bit this year. But I think they'll pick back up again as soon as the new Congress comes to Washington and as soon as we see the new administration get set up.
I was going to say, prospects of a lame duck farm bill here seem very, very slim at this point.
Well, I think a lot of folks are still pushing for that, and yeah. we would like to see that happen. I think our point to members is, if you can get something done now, try and get it done before the lame duck's over. And then certainly if we'll need an extension as part of the continuing resolution for the budget anyways. So I would expect that that will be a part of the discussion. But if a farm bill may not be able to get done in the lame duck just because of timing, but that doesn't mean it can't get done pretty quickly here in 2025.
Do the dynamics change at all if we have to obviously look at 2025 and we get a new Congress in? I know Senator Stabenow will be retiring. So thinking about, okay, GT is going to lead the House again. Senator Bozeman of Arkansas leading the Senate side. We presume Amy Klobuchar will be the minority on the Senate Ag Committee for the Democrats. But, I mean, do the dynamics change at all here with a new Congress in terms of getting this farm bill done?
Well, I think you're always going to see new members wanting to put their mark on legislation like the farm bill. That being said, I think the bill that Chairman Thompson worked through and was able to get a bipartisan agreement on, at least in committee, it will be the starting place for any new farm bill discussion. It had a lot of great provisions in there, and I think everybody agreed that they were good provisions, including the sugar provisions. We had agreement actually from the Sweetener Users Association on those provisions, and we supported them as well. So looking at that text as a starting point, I think you will still see some changes because new members are going to have different different sort of angles on things. But I think by and large, that will be the starting point. And I don't anticipate it changing all that much from that sort of framework.
What about sugar policy specifically for farm bill and things moving forward? What are some of the big keys that you guys are focused on at ASA right now?
Well, the biggest component for sugar policy is obviously the loan program. That is our bread and butter piece of the farm bill. Comes in, you know, the Title I commodity program for us just describes how that marketing loan program works for sugar. And ultimately, we've seen, as I mentioned earlier, costs go up for pretty much everything. And so having a loan program that is more reflective of those costs is something that we're pushing for. And we haven't really seen major changes to the loan rates for raw sugar or refined sugar for the past couple decades. And so this is a needed improvement. Raising the loan rate helps provide that safety net if we need it. We don't anticipate having to, we're always going to be taking out loans. Mm-hmm. Bigger loans are going to be helpful for the more expensive processes we have in place. But as we point out, with the current farm bill as well as a future farm bill, we're going to pay those loans back with interest. And ultimately, it's a no-cost program for Congress. So usually the sugar provisions don't really cause, contention in the farm bill process. Looking forward, we're still going to be pushing forward for the whole package for all of agriculture. A lot of our sugar cane and sugar beet producers are also producing other commodities. So the farm bill will help in that sense. Through the other components of the Title I program, as well as an improved crop insurance program.
Rob, as we close out here, final thoughts, anything else you'd add from the American Sugar Alliance right now?
Well, I think it's worth mentioning that we just came off of a record year of production in the U.S. Everybody agrees from our customers to our farmers that more American-made sugar is an important component that we want to encourage in the next farm bill. And we certainly saw a record production year last year, and we're looking at another good year coming up. So knock on wood that we're going to have Mother Nature cooperate. We're going to have a good growing season next year. But ultimately, producing more American sugar for our customers is what we're in the business to do.
Rob Johansson, Director of Economics and Policy Analysis, American Sugar Alliance. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate the time.
Thanks so much, Jesse. I was glad to come and join.
Once again, another great conversation last week at the NAFB convention in Kansas City. We're out of time here on AOA today. We'll have more conversations from NAFB coming up tomorrow on the show. We'll also talk markets with Christy Van On. She sits with Van On & Company. AOA powered by Cenex. More at Cenex.com. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges.
At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready. And health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-760-9937. That's 800-760-9937. 800-760-9937.
Did you know that everyday conversations can help your children build math skills? Discovering numbers and shapes with your child is a great way to make math fun in any language. And they are never...
Okay, I have to tell you. I was just looking on eBay, where I go for all kinds of things I love, and there it was.
That hologram trading card. One of the rarest, the last one I needed for my set. Shiny like the...
designer handbag of my dreams. One of a kind. eBay had it, and now everyone's asking, ooh, where'd you get your...
windshield wipers. eBay has all the parts that fit my car. No more annoying. Just beautiful.
Whatever you love, find it on eBay. eBay.